Well, my answer is to all the questions is short moments many times become automatic.
Okay.
And the only challenge may be that we've been caught up in focusing on points of view and really believing that there's something in points of view to be held on to. And you see, that's the only cause of anxiety or irritation or fear. The belief that there's something to hold on to, that there's some kind of point of view, which would include any thought, emotion, sensation, or other experience, any kind of state, whether it's blissful, clear, non-conceptual, negative, or indifferent. All anxiety, irritation, and fear are due to not having knowledge of the pure basic space that is utterly lucid and is always incinerating everything in its glow. And the beauty of short moments repeated many times is that directly and instantly it acknowledges that primordial basic space, which is something that most people have no familiarity with, thus they have no confidence in it. And by short moments many times, one becomes familiar with primordial basic space and the awareness that is inseparable from it, and becomes confident in it. And so you see, because there hasn't been familiarity or confidence with awareness, awareness has been caught up in points of view, hoping to make something solid that can be counted on, some source of comfort, some remedy or countermeasure for irritation, fear, even paranoia, terror. That's at the basis of trying to hold on to different identities we might have that we think might give us something. And these are ingrained in the sense that we grow up basing our hopes on these curative fantasies. So we grow up thinking, oh, I'm going to grow up and then everything will be all right. No matter how things are now, when I grow up, things will be all right. Or it may even be when we're a kid, oh, if I get this toy, then everything's going to be all right. Or if only I had some candy, then it would be all right. And so you see, we develop a pattern of points of view based on wishful thinking that these curative fantasies are going to make us feel better. Now, this all along is symptomatic of total disrespect of ourselves and everyone else. But you see, we don't know that we're operating in that way. We don't know that we are expressing a lack of respect for ourselves or for others. We think that these curative fantasies, these wishful thoughts, are going to fulfill all our needs and that then we're going to be comfortable and satisfied. And so we persist in that. Oh, well, if I do well in school, then if I'm smarter than other people, or I can even excel in one area or in sports or whatever it might be, then I'll feel satisfied and fulfilled. I'll feel better. And we learn early on that we need to compete with others and substantialize our identity with our own points of view. And then we look at others in the same way. We take ourselves to be our points of view and our wishful thinking, and we take other people to be their points of view, whatever they are. And then we compete our set of points of view against other points of view, whether it's at the personal level or the international level. And you see, when we behave in such a way, then in human society in general, there's a lack of respect within each of us for ourselves, and then there's also a lack of respect between human beings in society in general. Now, this is all due to non-recognition of the nature of existence, non-recognition of the nature of reality, believing that reality is made up of solid things, when in actuality, there have never been solid things. So it isn't even a matter of some kind of relative existence appearing within an ultimate existence, or some kind of conditioned existence appearing within an unconditioned existence. That is also an error in thinking and the adoption of an extreme. There have never been any extremes, not unconditioned or conditioned, not without time or with time. There's only the pure presence of the here and now. And even that is saying too much. And so you see, in short moments of awareness repeated many times, that primordial basic space that is without any reference points whatsoever is acknowledged, and confidence is gained in that. But always, timelessly, it has been that way. It's just due to illusory perception that we believe that it's any other way. And so you see, if we want to really feel ultimate respect for ourselves and others, then we can find that in short moments many times. Anything we're looking for, we can look to short moments many times until it becomes automatic to find that. And then as we grow older, we start to think, oh, you know, that maybe the more friends I have, or we might go the other extreme, the less friends I have, the happier I'll be. Or, gee, if I can just find the right kind of partner and we can live together forever, we'll have the same points of view and then everything will be fine. And then maybe we'll have some children and we can impress our points of view on them, and then we'll be a family of points of view. And all of this, it is so bizarre, really. It's completely bizarre from the vantage of awareness. It's completely bizarre from the actual nature of existence that we would attempt such measures. So you see, trying to figure out this chaos and confusion of points of view, and how can we order the points of view in a certain way so it always makes sense. And then we persist in this, even though we see that it never brings satisfaction and fulfillment. We persist in the true insanity of repeating the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. We think, oh yeah, we're going to find some kind of satisfaction and fulfillment and personal recognition or romance or whatever it might be. But you see, one of the profundities of short moments many times, if we allow it to be this way for ourselves, is that we place that as a priority above all else. So what that means is that rather than continuing to carry out all our urges of points of view, We simply trust in awareness until we gain confidence in that. We know that anything else we might want in our life will only be worth having if we have confidence and awareness. It's not going to be worth having otherwise. And we find that in the natural respect of awareness, our urges based on all our points of view that have been harmful to us and to others are shown through. They're exhausted in those short moments many times. What seems so compelling in this instant, or even over a few days or a few months, completely resolves. And by short moments many times, and then we get to see how these patterns have carried out their perpetuating influence throughout our lives. You see, if we have some kind of urge come over us and we don't take those short moments repeated many times, whether it's a momentary urge or an urge that lasts off and on for months, then we will never see that that urge is just an appearance of awareness. If we go into indulging it or avoiding it or replacing it with something else, then we'll never see that. But if we just allow everything to be as it is, which is the utterly lucid basic space of awareness, then we will see all clearly. We'll see that everything is free in its own place of basic space. Everyone is free in their own place of basic space. There is no other place than the place of basic space. All words, labels, phrases, no matter what they are the place of basic space and are free as that place of basic space. Nothing has ever been made into anything. There has never been any kind of identity whatsoever of anything consolidated or amassed. Now that's very clear, isn't it? And so even though we may hear short moments many times and be practicing it for a while, there'll be the mechanical regeneration of all these ideas about, oh, it must be this or it must be that, or, oh, it couldn't include all those horrible negative states or total indifference or whatever it might be. It couldn't include all my sexual fantasies. There has to be something wrong with me when I see someone I've never known and the next image is hopping in bed with them, or whatever our fantasies are or our points of view are. When we begin to gain confidence in short moments many times, it frees up the ecstatic spontaneity of what's appearing. So we might have all kinds of thoughts and emotions that we've never allowed ourselves before because we're too busy keeping the clamps on. However, there's no course to take other than short moments many times. Whatever these are, they're instantaneously resolved. They're already resolved prior to their appearance. You see, so there's absolutely nothing that has ever somehow forged itself out of awareness and become a solid thing. All solidity is already forever resolved. It's solidity is only a concept. And there's no reason to try to figure out whether things are solid or immaterial. Not either one. If you start to examine all that with your mind, well, you'll end up in a rat race of points of view, intellectual speculation. But if you just take it easy and rely on short moments you'll see more and more that things definitely are not solid. This total ignorance of primordial basic space is really shocking when you get right down to it. And the more confidence that is gained in utterly lucid, timeless awareness, the clearer that is, that it's just so obvious that it is shocking that anyone would ever believe anything else. It's just so clear, so obvious, so evident, so forthright, so straightforward, so blazingly clear. And all of this comes about without any thought or reason, without anything needing to be done. However, because we're so state-bound, meaning bound to different points of view or labels, it's tempting sometimes to try to nail down utterly lucid, timeless awareness into something. We want to really nail it down. Oh, it's this or it's that. It's the energy moving through the golden channel in the center, or it's the nectar dripping from the crown to the heart, or this kind of thing. However, the secret of secrets, the unsurpassable essence of everything, it doesn't have any descriptions. And so why try to make it into anything? It's always been this way, and it always will be this way. The instinctive realization of this and the teaching or training in the instinctive realization is nothing new. It's tried and true. The swift, surefire approach that is completely beyond all ideas and refinements and levels and phases, stages, descriptions. Association with certain people, association with certain traditions, association with certain organizations. By the power of awareness, all of this is seen through, all the cages of points of view that we've allowed ourselves to be locked up in are gone beyond, and we're completely free from those. How important is it to be a drone of this kind of information that attaches us, glues us to some kind of a fixated reality? No one wants that. It's called the Great Freedom because it's free from everything. It's free from all descriptions whatsoever. Yet through its own power, there are certain words, phrases, and syllables that appear, certain images that appear. That make it extremely clear what's going on. Now, short moments many times comes with a 100% guarantee. We really can't say that about much of anything because we all know that the 100% guarantees that are given usually aren't 100% guarantees. If we really make a 100% commitment, then that 100% guarantee becomes obvious, and we all the ideas we've had about everything, whether they're exalted or mundane, they all slip away into essentialness, and they're not seen to be necessary in any way. It's realized more and more that just the indwelling confidence of awareness itself contains all knowledge that has ever been known, is known now, or ever will be known. So there's nothing to study, there's no scholastic leadership to attain. There are no hoops to jump through. Anyone who is lucky enough to hear about this, the least they can do is step up to the plate. Mm. Right? If you step up to the plate in a totally selfish way, wanting it all for yourself, very soon you'll only want it for everyone else, because the point about it being for yourself will be moot. And you will thank your lucky stars every single moment of the day that you were greatly fortunate enough to meet someone who could give you the scoop. When we're on our search for friends, this is the kind of friend we want to meet. We don't want to meet friends who will go along with our points of view or be opposed to them. Those are both a total drag. They're a dull, uninteresting existence. We want to meet the friend who can instantaneously resolve our own points of view. And that friend is always the teaching of timeless awareness. That's the way it is. There's nothing more incredible in human society or more important than the personification of that. Timeless awareness, nothing more important. No matter how important your significantly important role in life may be, personifying timeless awareness is greatly, exponentially, quantumly more important than that. There's immeasurably more important. Right? Right?